Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports. Let's go! The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Let's go! Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's April, it's the 20th of April, it's 2017. It is a Thursday. We got four early baseball games, seven late baseball games, and hey, a special guest today. Derek Hardy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Happy to be back on.
I don't even know if we call you like a special guest anymore. Like you're becoming a regular. You were kind of a regular last year. Like, I don't know if we call you a special guest anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing.
I don't know. Maybe you want to be special.
Special, but it's also nice to be a regular too. And I'm conflicted.
Well, we're getting into first month of baseball is finishing up here. It's been fun. Anything that you really want to take away from the season so far?
It's been a weird start to the season, honestly. It feels like there's been a little more variance than we're normally used to. It seems like it's kind of evening out a little bit, but it's just between kind of the extreme weather, and we have the new park in Atlanta, and we have some pitchers like Jason Vargas just doing things they shouldn't be doing. Like, it's been kind of a weird year.
The thing that I keep taking away is just like, I feel like pitching is so much worse this year than it has been in years past. Like the type of pitchers, the quality of pitchers seems a lot worse than what we've had, you know, for the last 10, 15 years.
It seems like a lot of like chalk pitchers or ace pitchers have kind of had some rough outings in the early going.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we get these slates and it's just like, you know, which pitcher do I use? You know, it's worse and worse and worse. And like, you know, we have slates like Wednesday where we have, you know, 10 guys that are in play. So like, it's definitely interesting. You know, I love the baseball back. I know you love the baseball's back. It's your sport.
Oh yeah.
So let's jump into the early slate here. We got four games. We'll get started with Boston at Toronto, Chris Sale, Marco Estrada. Looking at the four pitchers that are on the slate, Chris Sale looks to be the number one guy.
Yeah, on the early slate, I think it's pretty clearly Chris Sale.
Yeah, like, you know, we have some other guys that maybe we could target in tournaments that, you know, have upside, but like Chris Sale, the Blue Jays off to a really slow start to start the season. No Donaldson in this lineup. It's just like Sale has massive upside in this spot.
I completely agree. I think Sale against the Blue Jays, there's maybe some strikeout upside. They're not, you know, the same Blue Jays we saw last year. I don't think they're as bad as they've been to this point, but Donaldson's on the DL, and you know, this is a matchup that in an abbreviated early slate, I think is clearly the best one.
What's your thoughts on Estrada here? You know, we look at a Red Sox team and, you know, they can't seem to get anything going, you know, in the home run department. They're not terrible to start the season. They're just not hitting home runs.
No, they're not, but I do think they're probably one of the best offensive spots in this early slate just because, I mean, I like Estrada. I think I like Estrada more than most people do, but he is a guy who gives up a lot of fly balls. This is a home run park, and the Red Sox have plenty of underlying talent. So I don't know if I'd have any interest in Estrada on the pitcher side.
All right, I'm with you there. I'm not even though the Red Sox are not in home runs, like you said, you know, fly ball type pitcher, gives up a lot of hard contact to righties, and we'll kind of see how it plays out. Looking at the Red Sox lineup, I really like Mookie Betts in this spot. I know he's expensive just about on every site, but this might be a spot that I just, you know, bite the bullet and just pay up for him. You know, the guy's not striking out. He gets a guy that gives up a lot of hard contact to righties, and like you mentioned, fly ball guy. This seems like a good spot for Mookie.
Yeah, I can see this being a spot for Mookie. He's clearly the best hitter on the Red Sox with David Ortiz retired. And so if we like the Red Sox best, then it stands to reason that we really like Mookie today.
You want to talk about Xander?
I don't like Xander. I think he's very overrated. My favorite tweet of all time. I had someone tweet me tonight. I should probably retweet it out. I haven't had a chance because I was getting ready for the show. But basically saying that I was right. He's never going to roster Xander again, that he's overrated. And I was like, yes, my job is complete.
Yeah, your season's done, and you know we're not even out of April yet. Benintendi and Mitch Moreland, both guys. Mitch Moreland off to a really solid start this season. I kind of like the Red Sox stack in this spot. You know, I think there's other spots we can stack too, but the Red Sox might fly under the radar here.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially if we think they're going to be low-owned. I think the Red Sox are in a great spot. I think I'm going to stay away from the back of the order with, you know, the St. Leones and whatnot, but if you go Benintendi, Mookie, maybe Moreland, Pedroia, a stack like that, I think that could have some breakout potential.
Looking at the other side of this game, the Blue Jays bats, is there anybody that you're going to target here against Chris Sale?
There's not really, although I wouldn't tell you not to stack them in a GPP. The sole reason being that while Sale is the best pitcher on the slate and while he's elite, he does have a wide platoon split, and they're going to throw a bunch of righties at him, probably I would think 8 righties at him. And so in this park, with everyone having the platoon advantage, I mean, there's a chance that the Blue Jays score some runs here. I don't think this is going to be like your typical dominating Sale outing where he goes out there and, you know, shuts them out for 7 innings. Like, I do think they could score some runs, and if it gets out of control, maybe that's a sneaky stack.
Yeah, I guess. I know you hate BVP, but Chris Sale has dominated the active hitters for the Blue Jays, for anybody that's wondering. So I didn't mention the Bryce Harper BVP on the show yesterday, and I got 15 tweets, so I had to mention it at least one time today, and that's the spot that I picked. Let's move on. Cleveland at Minnesota, Trevor Bauer against Ervin Santana. Any interest in either one of these pitchers?
Not really. They're kind of like, I mean, we only have a few games on this early slate, but they're kind of right in that middle range where I just don't have a whole lot of interest in either one.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same spot. Like, you know, I kind of like the offenses a little bit here. The numbers for Santana, you know, at first glance, you see that ERA, and then you look at the XFIP and Sierra, and you're like, yeah, you know, I would expect him to regress as well. So I'm not a big Santana fan. He's going to face a team that's hitting the ball really, really well right now in Cleveland. So I think I'm going to stay away from him. And then, like, you look up and down this Minnesota Twins lineup, it's not as bad as it's been in years past. So I don't know how much I'm really going to be picking on them here at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's really not a bad offense at all. It's actually, I don't know, it's an above-average offense, I think, probably. And it doesn't help that we're in a bit of a hitter's park today, in a park that suppresses strikeouts. So that's not going to do Bauer or Santana any favors.
Yeah, and like I always pull up the weather before we get started. And, you know, they're expecting 70-degree weather with wind blowing out to right center about 12 miles an hour. So, you know, really good hitting conditions here.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like maybe we're starting to come out of this cold spell that that kind of plagued most of the cities in the early weeks.
Yeah, we're gonna get some home runs finally. Hey, those are fun. Looking at the Indians' bats, I just got to mention in Santana's numbers since the start of last season, 2.66 ERA against lefties, but his XFIP is 4.20. So I like the lefties here. Brantley, Jose Ramirez, Chisenhall, Lindor, Santana, and always E5 is always in play. I'm really looking at the top six here.
Yeah, I think that's where you want to look in this offense.
What are we doing with the Twins bats here against Bauer?
I'm not necessarily, like, loading up on them. I think Bauer is the stronger play than Santana. But I think you can probably take some one-offs. I mean, there is going to be some power potential here.
Yeah, we look at the number for Bauer, you know, especially against lefties, 36% hard contact since the start of last season. So I'm really looking at, like you said, Max Kepler is a one-off. Maybe Jason Castro is a one-off. I never played Joe Mauer. I'm not going to start now. So,
no.
Like, I really like Kepler in this spot, and his price is still pretty fair, across the industry. So he's definitely a guy that I'm looking at here.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. then obviously Dozier and Sano are always going to have power upside when you're considering the Twins. So I think they have to be on your radar too.
Yeah, and if you're going to do that, don't leave out Grossman. Like, as bad as this guy has been, you know, throughout his career, you know, jumping team to team, he's actually looked pretty good at the plate to start the season. So we'll see how that plays out.
They've been hitting him second. Bauer's a guy that you can steal against a little bit, so maybe Grossman's in play.
Uh-oh. Getting on board with the Grossman train. Moving on, we have Detroit at Tampa Bay, Daniel Norris against Erasmo Ramirez. I have a little interest in Daniel Norris here. The guy has looked really good, and I just don't think he's as bad as some people think. Like, you know, people like to pick on him, but, like, I actually think he's pretty competent.
I am a big Daniel Norris fan, both in general and today. Like, I think he's the guy you pair with Sale in cash games. Like, he's in a great spot. It's a great pitcher's park. Team that strikes out a lot. You prefer lefties against the Rays, so that's going to work in his favor. He's a guy who, when I went this offseason, I've talked about it a few times in different spots, but kind of I quantified pitcher stuff, like what makes a curveball effective, what makes a slider effective, and then kind of looked at the pitches that every pitcher throws and quantifies it and looks at who has, like, you know, really good pitches or plus pitches. Daniel Norris has 4+ pitches. His stuff is ridiculous. Like, I would not be surprised at all to see him break out this year. He's all upside, honestly. And today, on a short slate and a good matchup, I think he's a great play.
Yeah, I'm with you here. You know, you look at the Rays and you look at the numbers, even if you look back to last season, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup, and we talk about it all the time. Can they hit him? Sure. But when your best hitter against the lefty is Ricky Weeks, that says a lot. And, you know, obviously they have Evan Longoria, and Longoria hits lefties. He has hit lefties, and, you know, throughout his career, but, like, numbers-wise, you know, since the start of 2016, Weeks is the best against lefties in this lineup. So that should not scare you as much. And then you look at Erasmo Ramirez, and you would think that Daniel Norris is going to get some run support here.
You would have to think he's going to get a little bit.
You would hope, anyway. I'm hoping, because I'm definitely looking at the Tigers' bats in this spot. What do you think here of the Tigers?
I think the Tigers are solid. I don't love them just because this is such an extreme pitcher's park, but I'm certainly not an Erasmo fan today.
Yeah, if this game was in any other ballpark, we'd be all over it. But, you know, he's going to pound the strike zone. That's what he does. Ramirez doesn't walk a lot of people. He's going to pound the strike zone, especially against righties, and he's going to face a lot of righties here. So I like Castellanos. Miguel Cabrera definitely in play. Cheap value, Tyler Collins, if he bats in that 5 or 6 spot, I think is in play as well.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for those elite Tigers bats. I'm not usually a big Tyler Collins fan, but guys like Castellanos and Kinsler and Miggy, like, I think they could be in play here.
Yeah, the one thing, like, you know, speaking DraftKings alone, if you plug in Sale, he's 13-3. If you plug in Daniel Norris at 7-5, you don't necessarily need a ton of value in bats. So, you know, maybe you don't need a guy like Collins, but, you know, he's definitely cheap enough at 2,700 if he hits 5th or 6th against Ramirez.
Yeah.
It all depends on what it's going to do to free up your lineup and, you know, how many big bats you really want to get on the spot. So, as far as the Rays go, like I said, Ricky Weeks or Longoria would be the only two guys I'd be looking at. And, you know, I'm definitely not going to have a lot of exposure to either one of those guys.
No, I probably won't either.
Yeah, Ricky Weeks.
Ricky Weeks. No, I like Norris. I won't be playing Ricky Weeks today.
I'm trying to find him. I can't figure out what position he is. Yeah.
He's got to probably be outfield, right?
That's what I thought, but I didn't see him just now. I'm looking through the DraftKings player pool to try to figure out. Oh, he's first base.
Yeah, well, we're definitely not playing Ricky Weeks as a first baseman.
The first base, he's 2,700.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you.
All right, moving on. Last game of this early slate. We got LA Angels against the Houston Astros. The Maker of Shoes against Lance McCullers. Any interest in either one of these pitchers?
Yeah, a little bit in both, more McCullers. McCullers is a guy who also, like Norris, just projects incredibly well in terms of raw stuff. His curveball is the best curveball of any starting pitcher in all of baseball.
I disagree.
Do you?
Yeah, man. Aaron Nola's curveball is legit.
Ranked as top five, but McCullers is just insane.
Oh, they're both good. I'm messing with you. I love Aaron Nola. I'm going to support the kid's curveball. It's dirty. But McCullers, like you're saying, it's dirty as well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nola. But McCullers, I think today, it's not an ideal matchup just because the Angels don't offer a whole lot of strikeout upside, but McCullers has so many built in that he is a guy that I think you have to consider. I think I like Norris a little bit more, especially because you're going to get him at a little bit of a discount, but McCullers would be the next guy on my board.
I definitely agree with you. And then Matt Schumacher, however you want to pronounce it, you know, I think that he's in play. I think that out of the, you know, eight games, I'd probably rank him my fourth favorite. So, you know, he's in the top half.
Yeah. I think he's interesting because, like, I still have a little bit of a hard time to know what to make of him. He has that amazing splitter. He ramped up the usage last year. So he's a better pitcher than we had thought he was for a while in his career. But the Astros are such a potent offense that, like, I could see this one kind of going either way.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I could see them putting up runs. I could see him having a really good game. I don't really see that in between, though. So it's definitely an interesting spot.
Yeah, the Astros have been, like, they're such a loaded lineup. Like, 1 through 9, they have a lot of good hitters, the entire lineup, and they really just haven't done a whole lot this year. So I don't tend to put a whole lot of stock in that, but it makes me worry.
Yeah, you know, Beltran looks old. I'll say that. Looking at the Angels' bats, is there anything here that you like?
I mean, I think you have to like Mike Trout against anybody because he's Mike Trout, especially if especially if in a GPP, maybe you're fading Chris Sale and you have a bunch of money to go around, then I think you have to consider Mike Trout. But that probably would be the extent of my Angels' interest.
This just in, Mike Trout, good at baseball. Houston Astros side, George Springer's off to a scorching start. He's hitting a ton of home runs. Reddick, if he bats in that two hole again, Altuve's been on fire. It'd be interesting to see what they do like 4 through 6. They've been mixing that around a lot. So I think this is a spot that you stack. I don't know how many one-offs I would play here. And we talked about it, like, we kind of see a scenario of this team either scoring a bunch of runs or just not scoring a lot, and that's the type of stacks you like.
Yeah, I can see some, like, cash game one-offs here. Like, catcher seems like it might be a little bit ugly on this early slate, so a guy like McCann or Gattis, I think, could be in play. Like, a guy like Springer or Altuve or Reddick in cash games, especially because Shoemaker's a guy who guys like to test him on the base pass a little bit. So the guys who have some speed – Reddick on FanDuel is still really cheap. I think you find some value here.
All right, that's going to do it for the early slate. Let's talk the 7-game late slate. We do have some solid pitchers. We have some solid ballparks to attack, and we have a knuckleballer on this slate. So a lot to talk about here. We're going to start with Philadelphia at New York. Aaron Nola against Noah Syndergaard. Hey, we just got done talking about this guy. You know, you watch the early slate and you get to watch Lance McCullers' curveball. And then you can watch the late slate and you get to watch Aaron Nola's curveball. All the curveballs today.
Yeah, we have all the curveballs today. And Nola's is a good one.
Looking at this slate and the pitchers on the slate, like, I think both of these guys are firmly in play on the slate.
Yes, I think Syndergaard is the very clear top option on this slate. Nola, I think, is interesting as a GPP guy.
Yeah, like, you know, Noah Syndergaard, you know, in 2016, you know, he had the third highest swinging strike rate. You know, it's just, to put in perspective, like, how good his stuff is, it was over 14%. And that's above elite. You know, there's only five guys, Pineda, Fernandez, Syndergaard, Scherzer and Kershaw, if I remember correctly. Pineda is that one guy that, like, threw me off when I was looking at that list. But, yeah, Syndergaard's just good. And, like, there's just no other way to put it. I'm not too worried about this injury. And I think he comes out, and I agree with you. He's the number one option on this late slate.
Yeah, Syndergaard's just good. I think is the right way to put it. And in this matchup, they don't really get much better. It's Citi Field. It's a great pitcher's park. It's the Philadelphia Phillies, who are not a good offense. Like, just lock Syndergaard into your cash game to be done with it.
While I don't disagree with anything you said there, except for the one thing about the Phillies, and I've been talking about it on the podcast for the last week or so, they're seeing the second most pitches per plate appearance right now. They're being festy, and they're being a pesky team. And like a guy like Syndergaard, I'm not too worried about that because he's just going to throw it by him anyway, so I'm not too worried about that. as far as Nola goes, like, so the Mets are such a hot or cold team. I know you don't like hot, cold streaks and all that, you know, nonsense, but like, they're a team that's either going to score a bunch of runs in a game or they're going to get shut out or score one or two. So, like, I like this spot for Nola. I think he has a lot of strikeout upside. What's your thoughts here on Nola?
Yeah, I think Nola is certainly interesting here. I worry because you tend to like, lefties against the Mets, and you tend to like fly ball pitchers against the Mets. Nola is the opposite on both. He's a right-handed ground ball pitcher, so he's not going to hold the platoon advantage against a lot of their good guys like Granderson and Bruce and you know, that kind of thing. And then all their best hitters are fly ball hitters. So as a ground ball pitcher, that's not necessarily going to work in Nola's favor. So I worry a little bit about him, but I think he's a fine enough GPP play.
Fair enough. I'm looking at him for tournaments. You know, I'm still trying to, and you know, it's one of those things I'm going to kind of have to do a little bit more research to kind of figure out who I want as my SP2 today. I agree with you, Noah, definitely there. As far as bats go in this game, I respect both these pitchers, and I don't see myself really attacking this game. Jay Bruce, maybe in a tournament. Cespedes, maybe in a tournament as one-offs. Those guys always have power upside, but I just don't see myself going to this game for bats.
I could also see Cesar Hernandez or Odubel Herrera as one-offs in tournaments. Anytime you get a speedy guy against Syndergaard, they're going to have more upside than they would against, you know, your typical ace, because Syndergaard is just terrible at preventing steals, and so is Travis d'Arnaud. So I don't hate either of those guys.
Yeah, like honestly, you know, what you're saying about Hernandez, I think he has an 11-game hit streak too, so he's been able to get on base lately. So if he gets on base here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they come at low prices, and obviously it's Syndergaard, but I think people underestimate their chances of actually getting on base. Like, it's not super high, but it's high enough where, especially when you get them at a discount and where there's chances of a steal if they do get on base is so high, like, there's value.
Yeah, let's move on. Just don't like that game for bats. You know, we want to talk about a game that I like for bats. Baltimore at Cincinnati, Wade Miley, Scott Feldman. Zero interest in either one of these pitchers for me. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no interest here in pitchers.
All right, let's talk Baltimore bats first. This team disappointed us yesterday on Wednesday. Let's go back to the well here. Seth Smith should be cheap, should be batting leadoff. He's in a great spot. Like, there's just – you couldn't name one person on this team that I wouldn't play.
J.J. Hardy.
I'd play him too.
Well, all right then.
Shortstop with some RBI upside, I'll take it in this spot.
All right. Fair enough. I do think Baltimore is one of the strongest options on this slate.
I think they're the strongest option on this slate. I love this spot for them. You know, on the road too, so we get that ninth inning. Like, yeah, all the Baltimore wind blowing out to left center at Great American Small Park. Like, yes, yes. As far as Cincinnati goes, where are you attacking Wade Miley here?
Yeah, so I don't know. I have a very love-hate relationship with the Reds. I just don't think they're as – well, it's not that I don't think they're as good as they've been so far this year. They're not as good as they've been so far this year. Like, you look down the lineup, and yeah, they've done well this year. They have a grand total of one above-average hitter in the entire lineup. They have Joey Votto, who's phenomenal. They have Adam Duvall, who's basically average, and literally everyone else is below average. So, like – I don't love the Reds. I don't know where all this Reds love is coming from, I do like to play them in good stolen base matchups, Hamilton and Peraza. But Wade Miley is phenomenal at preventing steals. So I kind of have a hard time seeing where I'm going to get my exposure here. You're not necessarily going to go lefty on lefty with Votto. You know, I can maybe see the case for Duvall or Suarez, but I'm not in love with it.
Zach Cozart, you know, come on, man. You gotta trust this Zach Cozart guy.
I mean, Cozart is okay, but he's, you know, he's a below average hitter who hits like sixth or seventh in the lineup. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time getting behind it.
All right, I let you have your moment. Now it's time to talk about these Cincinnati Reds. Wade Miley sucks. Yeah, he's good at holding on, guys. Sure, okay. Adam Duvall, doesn't matter if you can hold him on. When you take four bases per hit, you don't have to worry about being held on. So love the Reds here. Really looking at Suarez and Duvall. You mentioned those two guys as guys that you would actually consider. So those are the two guys that I like the most. I always like Billy Hamilton. Yeah, I don't care if it's Jesus pitching and he is God at holding on runners. I'm still going to play Billy Hamilton because, honestly, realistically, I think he can steal off anybody in major leagues.
I agree. I think he can, but he's such a bad hitter, and his chances of getting on base in the first place are generally so low that, like, I want it to be a matchup where I know he's going to take off. Like, yeah, he can steal on anyone, but he's more likely to try to steal on guys who are bad at holding runners.
Derek, it's Billy Hamilton. He does not care who is on the mound. He's going to try to steal second base. All right. I get what you're saying. I hear you. The listeners hear you. But I feel like I've made a strong argument on behalf of Billy Hamilton here.
He can't defend
himself on the podcast. I have to defend him.
I have nothing against Billy Hamilton. I played Billy Hamilton last night. He didn't get on base until like the ninth inning, but he got his steal. So
that Vegas odds for him to steal base were pretty legit too. So, you know, hopefully everybody played those. But anyway, let's move on. We got Washington at Atlanta. Steven Strasburg against Ari Dickey. This ballpark, you mentioned we have a new ballpark. This is the new ballpark. And, you know, everything I've read about this ballpark, I'm kind of interested to get your take real quick. Has been, you know, everything I've read says they built this ballpark to play to Freddie Freeman's strengths. And as far as we're seeing so far, you know, it's been nice for left-handed power hitters.
It really has. And if there's one thing the Nationals have is they have some left-handed power hitters. I mentioned before I thought that Orioles were one of the top options of the day. It's because I think the Nationals are the top option. I'm buying into this as a good hitter's park. Good weather. All right, Dickey's just not very good, especially because the Nationals do have some good pure hitters that I think can handle the knuckleball well. I want so much Bryce Harper today.
He's good at baseball too, and you know, the exit velocity has been up, so that's all we need to see with Bryce Harper. What's your thoughts on Strasburg before we get into the bats here?
I think Strasburg is one of the better options today. I think Syndergaard is the clear top option, but Strasburg is right there in that next tier, maybe at the top of it.
I think that's fair. that's all I'm going to say. I think it's fair. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. I feel like he's going to be super chalky here. And whenever you have a chalky Steven Strasburg, I like to jump off. It's going to be really more of, You know. Luckily, we have the Rotor Grinders Premium. We can see, you know, kind of what Chris Jimino's thinking on projected ownership. And if he's going to be extremely popular, I think it's a spot that I'll stay off of. If it's going to be a spot that he's not going to be popular at all, I definitely will have interest. I think his price, you know, is right there by Syndergaard, which makes it interesting. And, you know, we technically maybe see him a little lower owned here.
Yeah, I mean, if we think he's going to be high-owned, I'm completely fine with fading him. It's not like I think this is an elite spot. I mean, I just talked about how much I like this park. You know, Atlanta tends to do better against right-handers. They don't offer a lot of strikeout upside. Strasburg comes with a bunch to begin with, so he'll get his strikeouts, but it's not like I expect him to go out there and dominate. So if we think he's going to be popular, then fade away.
All right, looking at the Washington bats, you already mentioned how much you like Harper. Daniel Murphy firmly in play, eating at the top of that lineup. If Jason Worth cracks the lineup, he hits the knuckleball really well. So he'd be a guy that I'd be really interested in this spot. He's hit Dickey really well throughout his career. And I love Knuckleball BVP, 13 for 27, two home runs, only four strikeouts in those at-bats, batting 41 with a 1.377 OPS. So really like Worth if he draws the lineup here.
Yeah, he it looked like he left last night's start, last night's game with some kind of injury. I don't know how serious it is, but they might sit him.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was hoping it was just they're beating him really bad and like they just wanted to give him some more, you know, time. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, he left in the middle of an at bat, which is generally not a great sign.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw that he had left the game. I didn't see that it was in the middle of a bat. That's not good. Darn it. You're killing my my BVP love here. So any other Nationals that you like here outside of, you know, pretty much the top six or seven guys?
I think that's probably where you're looking. I'm not going to tell you – I'm not going to hate – I don't know how much we're going to need to save money on this slate, but if we are going to pair maybe two of the expensive guys, then maybe you do want to consider, you know, a cheap National as one of your punts, a guy like Wilmer Defoe. Last night he was one of my punts. He was great. He's not a great hitter in general, but if we think the Nats are one of the top offenses of the night and he remains super cheap, then maybe he's a guy to consider as just a salary saver.
Yeah, and if we get, you know, if Worth does sit, maybe Wieters moves up into that sixth spot and on the road in the sixth spot, you know, could draw that fourth at bat. So don't hate him.
Yeah.
Anybody that you like from the Braves here?
Freddie Freeman. You're going to be able to make a case pretty much for Freddie Freeman in any matchup in this park. Strasburg isn't the opponent you really want to play him against, but as a GPP guy, I could definitely see some upside here.
Freeman owns him too, for what it's worth. Yeah, 14 for 35 with four home runs. Yeah, he's hit him really well. He's hot, man. Like, I love hot hitters. I talk about it on the podcast all the time. This guy is just seeing the ball really well right now. We talked about how this ballpark is playing, and, like, Freeman seems like an excellent one-off play. You know, a first base position that is actually pretty solid on this slate. You know, we're going to talk about a bunch of first basemen as we're going here. You know, we got Goldschmidt against the lefty. You know, Chris Davis, we already talked about him. Like, we have a lot of options at first base here, and, like, I think Freeman would be overlooked. And maybe he'll get traction because of the solid BVP, but I think that this is a good spot to one-off play him here.
Yeah, Freeman, I think, is the most underrated hitter in baseball. Maybe he's becoming less so, but like I think he's probably a top five hitter in baseball, and it's just been masked by Turner Field because it's been such an extreme pitcher's park. But now you put him in this new park, and I think Freeman's just going to have a monster year.
I hope so, man. I like Freeman a lot. I can't, anybody else? Like, that's it, right? Freeman, it, done?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
All right, Kansas City at Texas, Danny Duffy against Andrew Cashner. Andrew Cashner, back in our lives. Oh, man, Andrew Cashner. Why do you have to be the Royals? I love stacking against Andrew Cashner, but, man, a team that's let me down a lot to start the season has been the Royals.
They really have. They've been in so many good matchups. They've projected so well, and they just haven't done a whole lot. Mike Moustakas notwithstanding, Mike Moustakas has been great. His price is finally coming up a little bit on DraftKings, but I still think it's too cheap for this matchup.
Yeah, way too cheap for this matchup. We'll talk about bats in a second. Any interest in Duffy here?
Very little interest in Duffy just because, well, I don't want to say. It's kind of a tough slate because there's not a whole lot of elite pitching spots. Like, I think Duffy could be an interesting enough GPP guy depending on what this lineup looks like. But Texas obviously isn't the ideal place to pitch, and they are a pretty solid offense.
Yeah, really, like you said, it kind of depends what they do. If we see the Mazzara, the Odor, you know, the Chu, the Gallows in this lineup, like, if they leave in their normal lefties in this spot, like, I'm going to have plenty of Duffy because, like, there's going to be plenty of ending enders in that situation where, you know, you get the lefties and like Duffy's a good pitcher.
You know,
people do not give him enough credit. Like he is good stuff. And if he can keep this going throughout the whole season and stay healthy, like he's going to be a guy we're going to be talking about a lot this season. And it all, like you said, I think it really depends on the type of lineup we see in this spot.
I think in particular, because if we like Duffy today, I think it's a little bit more for the strikeout upside that he would have with so many of those lefty bats in the lineup. Not necessarily because we think he's going to prevent runs to any great extent. So I think we want to see a lineup with strikeout upside, because I do think the Rangers could put some runs up on him.
Let's see here. No interest in Cashner. All right, so we talked Moustakas already. We both like him. Is there anything else here for the Royals?
Alex Gordon has been really cheap on FanDuel in particular, leading off as a lefty with the platoon advantage. I think Gordon is interesting. Salvador Perez, what is his price today on draft? And so his price is going up on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. He's been really cheap for a while. Maybe a little less interest in him than I would have if he was cheaper, but he is a catcher who hits fifth in the lineup, which is something of a rarity. So I could maybe see some interest in him too.
Yeah, I don't ever hate him. And oh, if one of these days Brandon Moss is going to start hitting home runs again. So.
Yes, that's right. Brandon Moss is a thing. This might be where he starts hitting them.
Yeah, you get in some good weather here. I'm guessing it's good. I know I looked at it. Yeah, 80 degrees here at first pitch, so we get some good weather here. Like, you know, this could be a spot. Finally, maybe, who knows?
I actually think I might really like Moss today.
I would if he wasn't so expensive. You know, I liked him until I saw that he was $4,100.
Yeah, that's a little more than you want to pay for Brandon Moss.
Pulling up, he's still a first baseman on FanDuel, but he's $2,700, so pretty cheap upside there. Love stacking against Cashner, a guy that gives up just massive, massive, massive amounts of hard contact, and he's kind of a fly ball, ground ball neutral guy. So, like, those are the type of guys that I would like to target the power bats, and there's just not a lot of them on the Royals. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think the Royals offense projects as one of the top offenses of the day. It's just like they don't make a great stack because they don't have that big power upside that's going to score you a lot of points, even if they do put up 5 or 6 or 7 runs.
As far as the Rangers go, like, maybe Napoli is a one-off. I really respect Duffy, and I don't want to pick on him too much, and I want a righty power bat, and it's like Napoli is that guy.
Yeah, I can see Napoli as a one-off. I think if you're taking Rangers, and I don't think Rangers are necessarily bad plays here, especially because the bullpen behind Duffy is really not good at all anymore. I do think you're looking at the righties. I think Napoli's in play. I think Carlos Gomez leading off would be a good option as well.
Yeah, I don't mind Gomez. He's off to a pretty good start this season as well, so don't mind him in that leadoff spot like you said, but definitely don't play the lefties. Duffy, lead stuff against lefties. Don't do that.
And that's part of the reason why I think I would maybe have some interest in the righties, because Duffy does have a fairly pronounced platoon split. And so I think, you know, righties can maybe even be a little sneaky against him.
St. Louis at Milwaukee, Carlos Martinez against Zach Davies. I'll just say it right now. I'm not taking pitchers against the Brewers right now. I'm not doing it. Like, if Martinez wins this slate, I lose.
Yeah, I think I still am. Like, it's been so tilting trying to take pitchers against the Brewers, but I mean, theoretically, kind of like the Reds, they're not that great of an offense. They have some dangerous bats. You know, Thames is great, Braun is great, VR is good. But the back half of the order is so bad, and there's so many strikeouts here that, like, I don't know. I don't see how Carmart isn't an option, isn't a really good option.
Like, you can make a point for him. Like, you know, maybe this is a spot that you have some Carlos Martinez and you hedge with some, you know, Milwaukee stacks. You know, the pitching isn't like uber elite like it was on Wednesday, where we had, you know, 10 guys to choose from. So if you're making an argument, I guess that would be the argument that if you're playing multiple tournament teams, maybe you have a little Martinez and you still have that hedge Milwaukee stack on a different team.
Yeah, I'm good with that. As a cash game guy, I don't usually have the luxury of hedging. So for me, if I'm playing Martinez, I'm kind of riding or dying with him. And I don't know, I might be leaning that way.
It's fair. You know, like you said, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. You know, they're small sample size for the start of the season, but they're striking out a 26% clip against righties. To, you know, the strikeouts are there. The strikeouts are there. But, man, they're hitting a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, are they going to be solo home runs? Or are they going to be three-run shots is the big question.
Yeah, and I think that's going to maybe determine just how good of a play Martinez winds up being.
I've been picking on the Cardinals a lot with pitchers, and I honestly don't think I could do it with Zach Davies. I did it with Chad Kuhl. I did it with Garrett Cole. I did it with Ivan Nova. I can't do it with Zach Davies.
I don't think Davies is terrible. I think Davies is a firmly average pitcher.
All right, well, don't make an argument for it because I don't want to hear it. I'm picking on this team right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a strong Zach Davies pitch. I mean, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's kind of one of those guys where I don't necessarily want to pick on him, but I don't necessarily want to play him either. It's kind of – I see him right in that middle range.
I will say, if Zach Davies was under 6K on DraftKings, like, there would be some exposure today for me, but – I don't know, 6,700 is a little interesting. If he was a little bit better against righties, because he's going to see a ton of righties in this lineup. This team just can't go left-handed heavy. It's just, man, this team is off to a terrible start.
Yeah, they are.
As far as bats for St. Louis goes, the same thing I've been saying, you know, for a week, Dexter Fowler, one off. If we get news that Carpenter is going to play, did they send him to the DL yet?
I haven't seen any news that he got sent to the DL.
Yeah, I don't think they have, so I'm pulling it up really quick. But he's first base eligible in DraftKings.
First base only or?
First base only, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's gross.
They said he played on Wednesday. I guess I just missed it.
Oh, I missed it too then. I didn't play the day slate.
I did. I just stacked Seattle and won all the money. That's all. That's actually what happened.
What's that in there? Real stealthy, like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really, honestly, I'm really looking at, you know, Fowler. That's about it.
Yeah, I can see Carpenter, but as first base only, that's pretty rough. I don't really love St. Louis bats here.
All right, I'm pulling it up. Yeah, Carpenter returned. He went 1-for-4. So. Yeah, first base, if he was still third base or second base, I'm all in. I would definitely have exposure, but no, can't do it. As far as Milwaukee goes, they're really a stack for me outside of Eric Thames. You know, he's the GOAT. He's the best hitter in baseball, hands down. Like, this guy is just not – I say it jokingly, but, man, he's been fantastic to start the season. 11-game hit streak, and he's legit. He looks legit. You know, he's – drinking some Korea water and crushing the baseball.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument from me. He's good. He has very legitimate power.
And he's hitting lefties. He's hitting righties. He's just seeing the baseball really well. Like, these are the type of guys you want to target. Like, eventually it's going to come to an end, and, you know, that's the day you start jumping off. But, you know, it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon, so definitely going to have plenty of exposure to him.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Diamondback, San Diego, Patrick Corbin, and Clayton Richard facing off here. Any interest in either one of these guys?
No. This is Patrick Corbin and Clayton Richard we're talking about here.
It is. I don't disagree. Like, there can be an argument made for Patrick Corbin, right? Like,
there can, actually, for Corbin. Actually, Corbin might be kind of sneaky. I spoke too soon. I think Corbin could actually be kind of be decent in this matchup.
It's really the price. Like, anytime you get a guy under 6K on DraftKings, you know, second SP2, you know, there's always the flyer upside type. You're like, you need 15 points at that point. And, like, is Corbin a guy that can get 15 points? He's done it already the once a season against Cleveland, and Cleveland's a much better offense than San Diego. So, like, it's possible, but, like, could he get rocked in this position too? Yes.
He could, but this isn't a very potent San Diego offense, particularly against lefties. I don't know. Corbin could be really sneaky here. I'm almost kind of thinking about how maybe he could be a possibility as your SP2 with Syndergaard. I don't know if I'm going down that low, but I'm not going to rule it out right now.
Like, realistically, you're fading maybe, what, two or three bats? You're fading Meyer, Solarte, Renfro?
Yeah, pretty much. Even Solarte, I don't really have a whole lot of respect for, as, you know, as a hitter goes. He's, you know, a little above average, maybe. No power, basically. I don't know.
He just doesn't strike out a lot against lefties.
No, he doesn't.
He puts the ball in play a lot. So, like, I say you're fading him. You know, that's, you know, the type of guy that could hurt you just because he's going to put the ball in play.
That's true. That's a good point.
no interest in Clayton Richard. I agree 100% there. Love Paul Goldschmidt and Yasmani Tomas. Like, they're elite plays in the slate. You know, AJ Pollock, another good play. But Yasmani Tomas and Paul Goldschmidt, elite, elite plays here.
Yeah, I don't like them quite as much as I like, say, a guy like Harper or, you know, Machado. But I do think they're very good plays here. What's Pollock's price looking like these days? He hasn't really been on my radar for a while. He's still too cheap on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. 41 on DraftKings. That's too cheap for his talent level.
Tomas is only 39. Like, there's good value here.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Tomas, but Pollock I just think is extremely talented.
Yo, you need to get on this Tomas bandwagon, okay? The guy mashes left-handed pitching. Let's just be honest. I know you hate small sample sizes, but
I do.
145 at-bats since the start of 2016 against lefties. He has a 47% hard contact rate with a 317 ISO. Like, the guy mashes lefties.
Those are phenomenal numbers, but I need to see a bigger sample size before I'm buying into that.
Well, listen, you know, he's only been in the league for a couple of years. I can only do what I can do here. Let's see. I'm pulling up his career stats now. Now you're making me pull up his career stats. And, all right, 256 at-bats, 266 ISO, 42% hard contact rate.
256 at-bats, though, it's just not a lot. It's not.
Like, come on, Stevie. You need to get it up in the 10,000s.
You do.
Well, you have to, you know, it's a lefty on the hill. You're never going to get that many at-bats. You know, that's your argument with Nelson Cruz all the time. And, you know, we go back and forth all the time. But it is what it is. Love Tomas. Love Goldschmidt. Like you said, Pollock still too cheap. I don't even actually hate Chris Owings. If he gets that second spot in the lineup, shortstop eligible, batting second between, you know, two really good righties, I would have interest there.
Yeah, his price tag is reasonable enough at a shortstop position that can be tricky to fill, especially today. Like, I don't see any shortstop that really sticks out as a guy that I have to have. So he could definitely be in play if he gets a good spot in the lineup.
How dare you talk about Zach Cozart like that? How dare you? as far as the Padres go, it's kind of the three guys that I talked about when I was talking about Corbin. I would have interest in Myers, Solarte, and Renfro. Myers off to a really good start. Renfro with the power upside, and Solarte is going to put the ball in play.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'd be looking. Less so with Solarte, just because I don't think he's a very good hitter. He never offers enough value for his price tag, in my opinion.
All right, last game of the night, Seattle at Oakland. James Paxton against Cesar Valdez. The guy hasn't pitched in the big since 2010. I was shocked to see his Fangraphs page and see that realistically this guy has not pitched. He's been floating around the minors since 2010.
He has, but I don't know if he's necessarily like a total gas can.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to explain why you think that, because I'm looking at his triple A numbers and stuff, and I'm like, you know, they weren't terrible. Why wasn't he up in the bigs? You know, that's my only concern.
Yeah, I don't know where he's been. I think part of it is because it looks like he was in the Mexican League for a long time, and guys in the Mexican League for whatever reason just don't ever get a shot usually again in the majors. But his numbers were good. He was good in triple A last year. You know, I kind of think maybe that's why he's getting his chance now. Like, he got out of the Mexican League, he did well in AAA last year, and now they're saying, you know, let's give this guy a shot to start. Like, I don't think he's a good pitcher by any means, but I don't think he's a whole lot, you know, worse than below average.
All right.
I'm not saying to play him today, but I'm just like, I don't think he's terrible. He doesn't project that way.
He's gonna pound the strike zone. You know, by looking at his numbers in the Mexican League and looking at his numbers in AAA and all that stuff, like, the walk rate is very low. He's gonna pound the strike zone. He's a ground ball pitcher from what we're seeing by the numbers. Doesn't give up a lot of home runs. Doesn't strike a lot of people out in AAA last season. 7.429 K per nine. You know, maybe, just maybe, you know, at 4,300 he does something. I don't see myself going there, but I you can definitely make an argument for any guy that's 4,300. Same thing was talked about yesterday on the show with me and Boggs, Grinders. Like Amir Garrett was like 4,800, and there's always a case to be made when a guy's under 5K, just because he's under 5K and it opens up so much. Paxton, on the other hand, like you want to talk about a guy that has massive strikeout upside. James Paxton throws gas. Don't know how much I actually love this spot for him. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Paxton in general. Not a big fan of this spot just because it's Oakland. The park suppresses strikeouts. Depending on what the offense looks like, it can be an offense that's not especially conducive to strikeouts. But I still think Paxton is probably one of the better pitchers on this slate just because he is so good and because Oakland's offense, even though they don't necessarily strike out a lot depending on the configuration, they're also not a particularly threatening offense.
Yeah, and we look at the numbers for Paxton, you know, his strikeout numbers were really solid against righties, more of a ground ball guy. The only thing you always worry about with guys that throw as hard as Paxton is, like, you know, the home runs, because you don't, you know, you get a solid barrel and the ball's going to fly when you have a guy throwing in the high 90s. So that's always the concern when you're looking at a guy like James Paxton. But, like, realistically, you look at Oakland and, yeah, they do have guys that platoon, but for the most part, you're really just worried about, like, Chris Davis and maybe, you know, Healy. And I guess Trevor Plouffe, but, you know, that doesn't worry me too much.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot here that worries me outside of Chris Davis.
Chris Davis, still very underrated. As far as the Seattle bats go, I think that I would approach them, you know, 2 through 5. Haniger, Cano, Cruz, Seager. That's where I'm looking. Haniger just continues to hit the baseball. And, you know, that's what you're trying to do in baseball is hit it. So I'm pulling up. Have they raised this price yet? Nope. Still way cheap. He just continues to put up points.
Yeah, I'm not fully buying into Haniger yet, but it's a nice price. I don't love Seattle today, just because, I mean, Cesar Valdez. I mean, I don't know much about him, but he does seem to project pretty well. Like, he doesn't look like this terrible pitcher. So I don't know. I think there's better offensive spots today.
Oh, I can't believe we're talking about fading a pitcher that hasn't pitched in the big since 2010.
Yeah, but
no, I get what you're saying. Any Oakland bats that you like here?
Not really, just because I'm a fan of Paxton. So I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of bats that I'd have much interest in. You can make a case for Chris Davis as a one-off, but I think that's about it.
All right, let's play some Home Run Derby before we get out of here. There's no Coors Field, so we don't have to worry about that. We'll go late or early slate, everything in play, and I'll let you bat lead off.
All right, I will take Chris Davis with a C.
Man, knocking out that chalk early, aren't you?
Got to do it. You know I'm a cash game guy. I got to go for that chalk.
Eat it. You know, Trumbo is definitely my guy today. Yeah. One of my favorite home run spots on the slate. Love him. And then a guy that might go overlooked, and he's burned me, but also made me some money to start the season. I'm going to go with the Tacos, Moustakas.
I love Moustakas. That's a good call. I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
Oh, shocking. Another chalk play.
And then I'd be tempted to go with Duvall here, but I think I'm going to go with Manny Machado.
All right, we got our Baltimore love out there. If anybody's curious who the top stack of the day is, just saying. I'm going to ride the hot bat. I'm going to ride the BVP. I'm going to ride it, and I'm going to say Freddie Freeman takes Strasburg Yard once again.
I like it.
You like BVP, everybody? Heard that?
Damn it, I don't like BVP. I like the Freeman pick. I think it's very sneaky.
I am definitely editing that where it doesn't have the very – I hate BVP afterwards, and I'm running with it. Coming to Twitter near you. Anyway, any final thoughts before we get out of here, Derek?
No, I think that's it. I think I don't know. I guess be careful out there. I mean, I think there's maybe some potential traps on this slate. But I think it's a fun one.
All right. And as everybody knows now Derek loves BVP. My night is set. My year is set. He finally admitted it to everybody that is listening. So anyway, always appreciate you coming on, my friend. We'll be back tomorrow with the Friday edition of the Morning Grind. Good luck in your contest tonight, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Bankroll management might not be the sexiest part of daily fantasy, but it's an important one. And that's why we've launched the DFS Analyzer. DFS Analyzer will help you easily track your results and then use them to your advantage. Just upload your contest history, and in seconds, DFS Analyzer will show you winnings, ROI, records by sport, contest type, and more. Don't just view your results, analyze them and gain an edge. Try our free DFS Analyzer tool, become a smarter, more process-oriented, hopefully more profitable DFS player.